This week's episode is brought to you by me, Mike. I suggested this movie, and then Sheldon conveniently had to move and lose internet for a week, so he managed to get out of doing it with me. But I still found someone else to do it, so the show goes on. And that somebody is Eric, previous guest from the Poltergeist episode, and the host of Hey Internet, Eric here, the one-man review show where, well, sometimes it's not one man, sometimes he also reviews things with his wife, where they watch shows and give their thoughts, observations, reviews, and, you know, he's a good bloke, a funny guy, so check out his stuff, Hey Internet, Eric here on YouTube. And if you want to know why you should do that, just listen to him talk about this movie of the week with me. Enjoy. Hello and welcome to episode 79 of The Graveyard Shift. You may notice Sheldon is a little absent. That's because he has moved and is currently without internet. Oh, and if he did all the unpacking and job training, he is a busy Sheldon. So I'm working the graveyard shift, but not alone. I managed to find someone else to join me here, and please say hello to Eric.
Hello.
That's all I got to say.
Yep, I needed a co-host in a pinch, and Eric was all too happy to watch a Z-grade horror movie with me. But, he expected a Z-grade movie, but I think it's a delicious B-grade gem.
We'll get to that.
So, today's episode is new meaning to Cold-Blooded Killer, because we watched Jack Frost. But not the adorable Michael Keaton movie. This Jack Frost came out a year before that, and it's a little different. It's not about an adorable snowman trying to reconnect with his son. As IMDb puts it, after an accident that left murderer Jack Frost dead in genetic material, that's explanatory, the vengeful killer returns as a murderous snowman to exact his revenge on the man who sent him to be executed. An interesting plot, but before we get into it, a little bit about the movie. It holds, oh boy. This is unfair. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has a 7% rating.
Wow.
That is...
I'm not going to lie. I didn't expect it to be that low.
No.
I expected at least 10. All jokes aside, I expected at least 10%.
Well, I expected it to be around maybe 30 to 40%.
Oh, wow.
I had a great time watching this.
Well, whether we had a great time or not, you know, that doesn't mean anything with critics and fans, you know. But again, what do I know? I like Howard the Duck, so.
Oh my gosh, duck boobs.
Yep. Wow, 7%.
Yep, 7% for critics. Oh, it has an audience score of 29, so a bit of disparity in that.
Mm-hmm.
A slight better redemption. Well, redemption is used loosely.
Yeah. It's still a failing grade.
Oh yeah. And I love the picture that they have for the Rotten Tomatoes, where it has a skull made of snow, because, you know, just having like a snowman wouldn't be enough. This is like beautiful mid-90s CGI. The same type we see in our coverage of Nintendo Power whenever they cover Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
And he has a massive tongue in this one. Like, his entire jaw is a tongue.
He didn't have a tongue in the movie, though, did he?
No. This is just completely misleading.
Okay. That's false advertising.
And they need all the advertising they can get.
That's right. Well, we were talking about with the advertising offline. The DVD had that cool cover where you can like move it back and forth, and it was like a hologram where it was the happy snowman to the demon snowman. So that was some good marketing.
Except it's not the demon snowman you get in the movie, which would have been nice.
That's just details.
Details, schmeetails.
Exactly.
Well, speaking of details, let's get into ours. What the hell, specifically the good. You're the guest, so Eric, tell me something that, well, based on what you told me after the first 17 seconds of watching this movie, you had low hopes for this movie, so what did you consider a pleasant surprise?
Yeah, because I think you sent me the file, and we'll get to the 17 seconds when we get to our dislikes, and I believe I already said, fuck you, Mike. But here's the thing. It's a movie about a killer snowman. So you have to go in with a certain mind frame, all right? It's like I said, I mentioned Howard the Duck or Sharknado or anything like that. You have to know what you're getting into. You're not just going to sit down and think it's, you know, fucking Citizen Kane. But I will say this. My first like was really, really early on, and it was after Jack gets hit with the acid or the chemicals, I guess. I really liked that practical melting effect that they did with him. You know, the face bubbling and melting off, and then he fell to the ground, and I liked the way the blood looked like when it was a shitty effect, but it just disappeared, like, quote unquote, into the snow. And I really liked how then it suddenly cut to like an animation of the red blood cells going into, I think it was snowflakes. I'm not entirely sure.
Like ice,
yeah,
flakes, or they look kind of more like caltrops.
But the thing is, it was a great way to set up the quote unquote tone of this film. You know exactly what you're getting into, and he is looking forward to what was coming up next.
Yeah, it was a great way to signify that he has genetically merged with the ice.
but you know, I know this was a no-budget movie, but it showed that they put some money at least into that melting effect, and I actually really enjoyed it.
It got the job done. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be super pretty. It just, as long as you can get in a couple of seconds, okay, so his blood is, his entire his biological makeup is now one with the ice. Mm-hmm. All right. If we haven't seen the trailers or the cover of the box, we are now up to speed with the premise of this movie.
It was, to me, like very Troma-esque. You know, they put in, instead of the $5, they put in like maybe $7.50 into the effects. And I was entertained. I was smiling when I was watching it.
Well, my first good, no surprise here, the credits. It's kind of a mixed bag because we have this annoying chipmunk voice with what I'm assuming is supposed to be a little girl asking to be told the story. So as this guy, for some reason, is giving like a quasi-British accent.
Mm-hmm.
While telling the story of the killer Jack Frost, we get to see this amazing intro of a Christmas tree being close up and panning across the entire tree with the credits actually written physically on the ornaments.
Yeah, that was really cool, and it was kind of for me it seemed like it was a long drawn out credit sequence, but it looked really, really nice.
Yeah, it was almost like a non-stop motion homage to the old Rankin Bass Christmas specials.
Yeah,
I was definitely picking up that vibe while the guy's telling the story of Jack Frost, and he's talking about how he would kill people, and he did it in like a cute rhyming thing while traumatizing the child. Yeah,
because he went from sweet and innocent to, and he said, oh, maybe Jack did it because he didn't get enough hugs when he was a kid and stuff like that.
Yeah, so the intro has, it's got cutesy ornaments and stuff, and child trauma all at the same time. So I'm giving two major thumbs up to mm-hmm. these credits. That made me happy mm-hmm. right off the bat.
Yeah. And like so, I said, it looks good too. And mm-hmm. speaking of looking good, my next like, I put Shannon Elizabeth is always good eye candy.
Oh, damn. You and yep. me both, brother. She's also mm-hmm. my second like. Except my note is, who knew American Pie wouldn't be her most embarrassing sex scene?
I know. Oh, man. I'm not a huge fan of her other than that, but I like looking at her. She's... does that mean that this actually has star power? Because this was before American Pie, I believe.
This was her first movie when she was credited as Shannon Elizabeth Fadal.
Oh, Jesus. But yeah, I mean, I don't really have much to say about her other than she looked hot and she did take off all of her clothes. So that's always a bonus for me.
Well, you should know at least one thing about her in that she runs a nonprofit animal rescue organization in... and she currently lives in Cape Town, South Africa. So she runs charities. And she's also a semi-finalist for the NBC National Heads Up Poker Championship in 2007.
Well, good for her.
Yep, so if you're into poker, then, you know, she's into it too. But... yeah, the big thing is the charity she runs against against animal rescues. She's preventing people from rescuing animals. She even did an adopt a turkey program, urging people to adopt a turkey instead of eating one for Thanksgiving.
What?
She was a spokesperson for Farm Sanctuary.
And the thing is, I was wondering what happened to her, you know, because the last time I saw her was like Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, and I think that was, oh God, 2005, 6, maybe a little after that. Oh, like she just vanished, you know, at least from mainstream that I noticed.
Well, she was in a 2009 remake of Night of the Demons.
I did see that, and all I remembered was coked out Edward Furlong.
In other words, Eddie Furlong.
Yeah.
And then she was in a different... Oh, wow. Talk about first full circle. In 2013, she was in Catch a Christmas Star.
Oh, jeez.
And one of her last movies, the last movie that actually has a link on it, is Marshall the Miracle Dog in 2015. Oh, but she was in Celebrity Big Brother in 2018.
Well... That's recent, so I guess she's nice to know she's still somewhat relevant if they got her on that.
And if you want to hear her possibly naked, you can check out her voice on Leisure Suit Larry Box Office Bust. So that's what she's been up to after she got familiar with the star of this movie.
Yeah, that we'll talk about that.
Well... another good I have is mm-hmm. the music. I really enjoyed the music in this movie, from the sinister version mm-hmm. of Sugar Plum Fairy, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, to some that got like really rock and roll at the end. It was good. It was a good twist on Christmas music, making it work with the scenes.
I thought that was hit and miss with me. We can make that, we'll go into my next like, because one of the likes I put, I loved at the very end after, you know, Jack's quote unquote defeated, there's a creepy rendition of Oh Holy Night, and it sounds like it's being sung by Jack Frost, and I absolutely loved that version. It's perfect because, you know, where we are, we obviously talk spoilers in this, but Jack's already been defeated, and then they're burying, you know, his remains and everything to Oh Holy Night, sung by Jack. So it sounds fantastic. I loved it.
Yeah, that was one of my great likes, but we can get into more detail on that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big things that got me was the bully's entire family. the mother, like the bully, he's, I mean, he gets killed in this really fucked up way,
mm-hmm.
where he gets knocked down by the snowman, and you think, oh, the snowman's going to attack him. No, some asshole, like, just slid his toboggan. Not, he's not even on it. The toboggan right. is just free-flowing, so it doesn't have much weight to it. But it's enough to cross paths with the bully and just send his cabeza flying.
I see, and that's what I really loved, is because, like you just said, there was no one riding it. So instead of, you know, just thinking of maybe just getting, you know, a bruise or, like, at the worst, maybe a cut or a black eye. No, he is completely fucking decapitated. And the next time that they cut to the next scene, and you have the ambulance guys with the body bag, but, you know, with his body, but they literally have like a clear, it looks like a garbage bag with his head in it as they're going into the ambulance.
No evidence bag. No.
Exactly.
No, nothing.
Yeah, it looked like a clear grocery store bag, like you would get, you know.
It's like, we didn't have a body bag this small, so we just took something from the lunch I got at the Piggly Wiggly, and here we go. And everything about this is fucking fantastic. The father is distraught, but the father is trying to attack the sheriff, like, your kid killed my kid, you fucker, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. And the wife, she's just like, he usually isn't this upset.
I know. He's been under a lot of stress lately.
This lady, it's like, this lady don't give a fuck. From the moment she shows up to the moment she dies, she mm-hmm. is not giving a fuck. When we see her again with the husband, she's like, do you want to put up the lights now? And he's like, Jesus, Mary, our kid's been dead for 5 hours.
Now go make me my sweater.
This kid hasn't been dead for a day, and she's acting yeah. like it's the 10th anniversary. Like, she's mm-hmm. that calm and detached. The sister isn't crying for her brother either. It's like, everybody hated this little fucker.
Yeah, he wasn't the favorite.
Now, the father, and then when the mother tries to calm him down, the father is like, listen, when I want philosophy, I'll turn on Oprah.
Oh, man.
It's
great for setting the tone. Like, you know, it's so self-aware. It's not one of these, you know, low-budget, straight-to-video horror movies that are trying to take it serious. No, it's full-out balls to the walls. We know we're making a dumb movie. We're going to run with it, and hopefully you guys get some laughs out of it.
Yeah. Tell me more. Tell me more good.
Okay. Speaking of low budget and knowing what it is, I love the design of Jack Frost when he's the snowman.
He's fucking great.
I love how cheap and stupid he looks. He looked like a gingerbread man more than a snowman to me, the way his face and his head was shaped, especially with his hands that had no fingers. They looked like, you know, he's wearing winter gloves. I love just the bad, you know, way his mouth would move like a Muppet. Then I love at the end when he's killing somebody and he gets icicle teeth and his mouth opens like a trash can and he tries to eat the person. And I'm literally laughing out loud while I'm watching this. It adds to the fun.
Oh, the kills in this are exemplary.
Yes.
Like when the father, after he doesn't want his wife's philosophy,
mm-hmm.
he goes outside to chop up some firewood or something,
mm-hmm.
and that's when the snowman shows up, and he shoves a 3-foot-long axe handle through the dad's mouth, but instead of it, like, just passing through his skull, it just seems to shrink down to a hatchet.
Yes, because it disappears, because when he falls down on the ground, you see him literally fall on the back of his head. There's no handle sticking out of the back of his head at all.
And it has to, because we see the blade of the hatchet almost, like, sitting on his nose.
Mm-hmm.
So a 3-foot-long handle has gone into his skull, but not down his throat.
Yeah, like I said, it just shows that the producers, the directors, anybody, no one gave a shit, and then they're thinking, well, why should you guys, while you're watching this, just have fun?
Yeah, that's why I put it as a good, even though like it's it's such a massive fucking gaffe. It can't be bad because it is just too fucking funny.
Yeah.
And the puns in this movie, God, you know I love me some puns. And this thing just delivered. This was hot cross puns. I could not. I was eaten like a champion. I was well fed on my puns of steel. This, like, after he shoves the axe down the dad's throat, he's just like, "I only axed you for a smoke," and he gets blown up. And when he reassembles himself, he's like, "Look, Ma, I'm a Picasso."
Yeah, because his head was on, his head was where his arm should be, and his arm was where his head should be. And he says, "When I get myself back together, I'm going to kick your ass," or something like that.
Like, he can reform a complete head. So he chose to put his head on his arm.
Exactly.
It was just so fucking great. And then when he kills the boyfriend, he's like, "Who are you, man?" "The world's most pissed off snow cone."
Yeah, because was it the boyfriend who says something to Jack and he goes, "Well, I ain't fucking Frosty."
Yeah, he says it to somebody.
Yeah, but it reminded me of like old 80s action movies. So like every time, like, say Arnold was gonna kill somebody, he'd, you know, throw a knife at him and say "stick around" and stuff like that. I was having a blast, dude.
He snaps the guy's neck on the plane. "Stewardess, can you get a pillow for my friend? He's dead tired."
Exactly. Oh my god. I said this offline. I ended up with more likes than dislikes. After that first 17 seconds, I was wondering, you know, when you get that text message from your buddy and they're in a pinch and you already agree to help them before even thinking it out.
I'll help you move.
Yeah. Should I just have not answered this message from Mike? But no, I had a lot of fun, man.
Oh, the guy tries to melt him with a hairdryer and Jack's holding up the plug and he says, "Blow me."
Yes. Oh.
And then when he kills the boyfriend by shooting icicles from his arm like Mega Man, he ends up going, "This gives new meaning to armed and dangerous."
And after he impaled him to the door and, you know, the icicle fell out, you see like his the brain matter pulsating on the other side of the door with an actual heartbeat.
Yeah, because the brain pulses.
Exactly.
Oh, and then when he shows up inside, when he melts his way into a car, and you see his head turn around, he goes, "Your engine is flooded." It just doesn't stop with this, and I fucking am so grateful for all of it.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be bad, because I knew the notoriety of this movie, you know. And like I said, you gotta have the mind frame. But then you told me it's basically nothing but Christmas puns. And I said, well, it could be good because I love Santa's sleigh and that's nothing but Christmas puns. Or it could be nauseating and way too much. And this was spaced out just enough where it wasn't overkill. It was fun. It reminded me of, like, you know, like I said, the 80s movies or like old comic books. Like when Spider-Man would say something witty or something like that.
Any more goods?
Oh yeah, I have, let's see here. Not counting the puns, there were two scenes in this film that had me literally laughing out loud. Like, I was watching this on my computer, my wife was asking, "What are you laughing at?" And I said, "Oh, this stupid movie." But I legit laughed out loud in two scenes. The first scene was when they find the first victim, the old man, and he's like this, he looks like a zombie or whatever. And he's sitting in a rocking chair, and he's just rocking back and forth, as the deputy and the sheriff are just, you know, talking about who this guy was, what could have happened, blah, blah, blah. And then suddenly the sheriff looks at the deputy, and he says, "Would you stop rocking that chair? Oh, sorry, sir." I laughed out loud. But that's not the funniest joke to me. The funniest joke to me was after the bully was decapitated. Okay? And it was the scene where the dad is arguing with the sheriff because the dad blames the sheriff's son for the murder. You know, because they don't believe, you know, little Jimmy saying that a snowman killed the boy or whatever his name was. And then the sheriff said, well, that's impossible. You know, the bully couldn't have been had this happen because he's 2 feet taller than my son. And then in the background, you literally hear someone say, not anymore, he ain't. I had to pause the movie because I was laughing so hard.
Oh, they just lean so beautifully into the morbid humor.
I know. And the funny thing is, I think it was a woman that yelled that too, which makes it even more funny.
Oh, there's and such great kills, like the boyfriend being like shot at with like an icicle nail gun arm.
Mm-hmm.
And then the mom.
The mom's death was good.
The mom getting face planted in ornaments, and then an ornament shoved into her mouth so she can't scream. Mm-hmm. And then she gets strangled with Christmas lights. After, and it begins. It begins with her sitting at the tree, sitting in front of the tree. Her husband's just been killed outside. She doesn't know. And she's looking wistfully at the tree, and there's like a blinking light on the tree, and she's like, oh, Billy. Like, thinking it's, like, a message from her son, like, I made it to heaven, Ma.
Mm-hmm.
And the second she thinks the tree is, like, trying to give her, like, a beautiful Christmas miracle, that's when she gets strangled and tied to the fucking thing.
And it was brutal, too. You had close-ups of her, like, it was the back of her head, but when she was getting face-planted into those ornaments, It was pretty brutal, and they didn't hold no punches with that, and I loved it.
And then there's, like, beautiful stupidity. Like, when the FBI guy shows up, and he sees Jack Frost, like, melt down to move into a room, and as he sneaks in, as he's, like, leaking into the room, the FBI guy tries to head him off by shooting the puddle.
Yes, he opens fire on the fucking water. Oh.
He's supposed to be the guy that knows what's going on.
Yeah. Oh, man. See, and like I said, it's just a fun movie. One last like I have. I have Jack Frost POV. You get, like, maybe two or three shots where you're looking out of Jack Frost's POV, and it's great because all around the screen is frost. So it's like, you know, you're driving a car through the winter and you can't see. And it's great because either you have that effect and you have, say, the sheriff, like, pointing the hairdryer at him.
Oh, or that Pulp Fiction style scene where four people have got, like, hairdryers on them. And you'd swear if they got the rights, you'd be hearing, like, dung, 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 dung.
And the great part is, like, in one of those shots, you actually see, you know, it's like a third-person shooter, like, you know, GoldenEye or whatever, and because you can see Jack Frost's mitten hands, you know what I'm calling them, trying to sway everybody away, and it's just so hilarious and fantastic.
It absolutely is. And
yeah,
there was a nice little mention where they, where like, the sleazy chemical scientist guy.
Mm-hmm.
He, of course, like, there's always, like, some company man who wants to keep the scientific oddity alive at the expense of everyone around him.
Mm-hmm.
And that role is played by Rob LaBelle. And his Wikipedia he has a link on a Wikipedia page, but it's a red link, meaning it does not exist.
So I kept thinking, like, Ted Raimi, you know, for him, who would have been perfect.
Yes, like discount Ted Raimi.
Yes.
And he gets like a nice scene where they explain, like, why the fuck are you, like, so obsessed with keeping this guy alive? And he goes, because his body was destroyed, but his personality transferred over. The soul exists on the chemical level.
Yes, yeah, so they actually said the soul was a chemical.
If it was just like sentient snow, then it would be its own individual thing, but it's Jack's personality.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, it's not like his body has simply got ice in his veins. No, he's just been subsumed by the snow. So his soul transferred into a slush pile. So, like, just that... Like, they have such an amazing concept, and we don't get to... I don't think we're going to see what they could do with that, but I was anticipating if this thing blossomed into a franchise, you'd see like a Puppet Master Gremlins like menagerie of different things being merged with this acid.
Oh yeah, this one should definitely rip off Gremlins 2, where you have, you know, Spider Jack Frost and Bat Jack Frost
Electric
and
Electric Frost.
Yes.
Jack Sparks.
Oh man.
But man, the way this thing ends, like, it is just an amazing fucking thing. He bursts into City Hall in a fucking bowling ball.
Yes.
And then they melt him down with hair dryers. The priest doing the sign of the cross with the hair dryer. And then Jack, like, they managed to push him into the furnace, and then he just, like, comes out as condensation and reforms.
Yeah.
And he...
And it was a cool effect, like, when they hit him with the hairdryer, how they melted, like, half of his face off.
Oh, yeah, it was...
So he had that gingerbread man look still, but, like, someone took a big bite out of him.
And then... When the scientist finally gets to talk with him, like, I made you. What's it like being you? And that's when you see, like, the teeth grow out. He's like, it's cold.
And yeah.
Then the scientist walks out, and he's pale as fuck. And he just looks like he's ready to shit and barf at the same time. Like, you can tell the contents are under pressure. And then he tries, like, walking out, like, he's... Like, he's forgotten what it's like to have feet, even though he's only been dead for, like, a day or two. Mm-hmm. And then, like, when he's realizing, like, I am not inconspicuous, he just looks at the sheriff, who's just staring at him, completely dumbfounded. And he's like, fuck it. And then he just barfs out of the sheriff. He barfs out of the scientist.
He barfs, and it was a cheap effect where you can tell he's just literally got a tube, like, tied, you know, taped to the side of his face, and it's like fire hose of, it looked like, I don't know if it was whipped cream or whatever the hell it was, just coming out of his mouth, you know, like a fire hose onto the ground until Jack formed back up.
Oh, it's so fucking delicious. If only they had, like $20 more in the budget, you could have just had Jack just rip this guy off of him, like, just rip the skin off of him like fucking Hulk Hogan with a WrestleMania shirt to just bust out of him.
But see, I think if they did, that would just take away the charm, because my last like was Jack's death, where they have the back of the pickup truck filled with antifreeze because they realize antifreeze is, you know, what's going to kill him.
Oh,
and
yes.
When the sheriff, does the sheriff takes him out of a second story window and they land in the back of the bed of the truck, and he's fighting. And first, once they land, you can tell that Jack is inflatable because, you know, he puffs up a lot. And then you have the actor playing the sheriff struggling with, you know, bits and pieces of Jack. It reminded me of like Ed Wood. Where Martin Landau, you know, is, you know, he's Bela Lugosi and he's fighting the inflatable octopus that isn't working. It's just this sheriff doing his damnedest to look like he's fighting this snowman while it's literally just like a deflated balloon, and I absolutely loved it.
Oh, this ending was so fucking perfect. Like, when he catches the sheriff in his car after saying your engine is flooded, and when he's like trying to attack them in the back of the car, he slaps him with a bag of cookies that his son made him, and this is the only thing that has really hurt Jack a lot. Like, he is in fucking agony. Like, he can't even reform himself completely afterwards.
Yeah, that's how his head melts.
Yeah, you think, like, if he lost mass, that, you know, he would just be slightly smaller or just get new snow from somewhere else. But no, when he reforms, he's still melted and red. Like, he's bleeding. And It turns out, why? Because the son didn't want the dad to get cold, so I made you, I put antifreeze in the cookies. You're not mad, are you?
No, son. You actually served a purpose in this movie.
And then, like, when Jack falls into the thing, like, a piece of him falls out, and I think, oh, it's going to escape or something. But then the kid picks it up, and he's like, Dad, you forgot the arm. And then the arm promptly wraps around the kid.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, please tell me they're not going to try to pry it off the kid. No, they do the smart thing.
They grab him, and they throw him in the back of the bed, and, like, they baptize him in the antifreeze.
It's so fucking... It's such a sensible fucking ending.
And what's great is, if you look, I don't know if that... It makes it seem like the little kid, the actor, didn't know what they were going to do, because his reaction when he was thrown in and pulled up, it wasn't very happy. He looked like he was pretty shocked. He's like, why the hell did you do that to me? And then they do it twice to him.
And then at the end, like you said, with Jack singing... Oh, holy night.
Yes.
While they're showing, like, they're burying the antifreeze. Mm-hmm. They've emptied out, like, they're just, like, buckets of antifreeze inside jugs. And they're burying the jugs bit by bit. And at the end, we see, like, the lights of hell backlighting a jar of antifreeze. And it starts bubbling to let you know that the puddle is alive still. What a fucking ending.
Yeah.
And so it's much like fun. Rips in the metal, like. I'm so fucking happy.
I am too. Like I said, I didn't know what I was getting into, and I'm glad. Thank you, Sheldon, for not being able to do this week's show. I'll say that.
Yeah, and fuck you on Rotten Tomatoes. This is not 7%. This isn't even 17%. For all these goods and all this joy. It's at least 55%.
Oh, yeah. Like if we were doing the old Netflix, like, 5-star rating, I'd give this, like, 3.5 at least. I just had a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I guess I've got something for the middle before we get into the bads. And it's, like, middle/neutral. And my only note is, I don't know if I like or hate... the amount of Dutch angles in this movie, but there's a lot of them.
Yeah, it was really weird.
And at one point, when the snowman turns himself into a Picasso, people themselves become Dutch angles.
Mm-hmm. But you know, at that point of the movie, dude, I was already running with it. I didn't really care. I was having so much fun.
That's why, like, I can't really say it's a good, because I can't say I loved it, but I didn't hate it either. So.
Yeah.
All I know is that there was a lot of Dutch angles. Now to show why we're not going to give this movie like an 80 or a 90%.
Oh, God, no.
Time for the bads. What did you... What left you a little sour in this movie?
Okay, well, I don't have that much. But we already mentioned the very beginning, the squeaky-voiced little girl, or who's doing the squeaky voice impression. The narration or the story is being told to, I guess it's supposed to be this little girl, and he's telling her the story of Jack Frost, and she's, can I have a story, please? And it's literally, like, I was listening to this on my computer with my headphones, and my ears were hurting from the high pitch of this voice, and that's why in 17 seconds I told you, fuck you, I didn't know what I was getting into.
My first bad is when he's being sent away, the side of the vehicle actually says State Executional Transfer Vehicle.
Oh, I loved that. I loved that.
Like, like you're not going to say, like, what state it is or just, you know, like, the name of the prison. No, you're calling it, like, it's specifically an Executional Transfer Vehicle, not just a Prisoner Transfer Vehicle. This is the van specifically for people who are being executed.
Mm-hmm. But see, I love that because that just showed how generic it was. Because, like, when they're getting hairspray and different things like that, like, later on in the movie to use against them, it doesn't have a brand name. It literally just says in black, you know, text, hairspray and this and that. So, it just, to me, it just added to the fun.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I guess we already got into how the hell this kid, how the hell the bully got decapitated by a slow toboggan on a flat surface.
Mm-hmm. With no one on it.
Yeah. And, okay, so give me another bad.
All right, let's see here. I didn't really like that. I mean, it only happened two or three times, but they kept telling us how much the kid sucked. Like, the little kid, when it came to him making stuff in the kitchen. Okay, we understand how, you know, he's making these oats or whatever, which he ends up putting the antifreeze in, and, you know, the dad doesn't want to eat it. So, like, he's going to throw it away when he walks to work, but then he thinks better of it and puts it away. And then later we cut to another scene where the kid's making gingerbread cookies, and he's just covering it with sugar and this and that, and the mom gives him this weird look, like, why did I even allow you in this room? They kind of hammered it down that this kid doesn't know what he's doing in the kitchen, and it just, it was a running joke that I just did not enjoy at all. Even though it had the payoff with the antifreeze at the end.
Yeah, there was a few people, like the idiot deputy. He fixes a leaky sink with a burst pipe by turning it with his bare hands. No pipe wrench. He's got that simpleton strength. And he looks like Ray Stantz, but acts like Louis Tully.
That is the best way. But again, like I said, I give him points because he's the one that was rocking the rocking chair with the dead body in it. So these characters, as much as I don't like them, they actually serve a purpose in this film.
Someone has to be the idiot.
Exactly. All right, let's see. My other dislike. Well, in my likes, I said Shannon Elizabeth is always good eye candy. Well, in my dislikes, I put Shannon Elizabeth is only eye candy because I thought she was awful in this film. She wasn't likable, which is fine because she's just a bratty teenager. But just her line delivery is the worst, I think, out of anyone here. She can't even flirt sexy with her boyfriend. Like, she's trying to coerce him to going into, you know, the sheriff's house because they want to have sex in the sheriff's house, I guess, for revenge because his son supposedly killed her brother. But
and she's not that shook.
No. And it's just Shannon Elizabeth should be able to flirt and look sexy, and she just can't even do that. So I told my wife, because we were watching, I think, 13 Ghosts, you know, the remake she was in a couple days ago, and I said, she's one of those actresses that, you know, when her looks go, she's dead.
Well, she's 45 and she's still stunning, so her looks aren't going anywhere anytime soon.
God bless her. I really had to pull for dislikes in this movie, man. I really did.
Yeah, speaking of Shannon Elizabeth, there was a scene that pissed me off when Jill says thanks to Tommy for drawing a bath for her. And you see his corpse downstairs, where she can't see it, giving a nod. Mm-hmm. And you have to wonder, is this brain spasm, or is this just ventriloquism for Jack's amusement?
Oh, yeah. That whole tub scene, I don't know if it was a dislike or a like or not, but just, she's laying in the tub, and she's, you know, she's comfortable and everything, and then suddenly Jack's nose pops up, you know, the carrot nose pops up out of, because she couldn't see it when she laid down in the tub at all. And the temperature of, well,
that's because he's like sliding along the floor and like eventually occupying the tub. Okay. He wasn't there the whole time.
All right, I'll give the movie
Maybe he was. Shit.
And then she was complaining about how the water got cold and suddenly it turned into cheap looking snow.
Yeah, fluff.
Yeah, and it looks horrible. And then suddenly Jack Frost comes up and he bear hugs her.
Oh, she's inside him. Like, he forms around her and pops up.
Yeah, and I'm assuming he rapes her to death. That's how she's killed. And the thing is, you know, you can't feel really uncomfortable because that's how you're supposed to feel with rape scenes. You're not supposed to feel comfortable. But you're not feeling... It's a woman getting raped to death by a snowman.
It's...
And then it's
the rejected MTV celebrity death rape.
Exactly. And then he drops her on the ground. And then he's... What did he say? Santa must have come a little early this year with the with one of your wonderful puns.
Yeah, Christmas came early this year.
Yeah. So, I don't know if I put that in my dislike or not, because I'm still on the fence with it.
He lights up the pipe for the first time, because, you know, that's what you do after sex, where he, like, pulls out the pipe, and he's like, I wonder if I should send flowers.
Yes. So, I don't know if you want to put that in a dislike. We'll just say I'm on the fence with that, but...
Yeah, it's I couldn't put it as a good, because I'm pretty sure we'd get a lot of complaints.
Yes. Exactly. It's not as bad as the Evil Dead tree rape. I'll give it that, because at least this has a snowman in it.
Well, there was some consensual sex happening in this movie, because in one of my last bads, we see Jack chasing the sheriff through a place. It looks to be like the upstairs of the city hall.
Mm-hmm.
But in there, through the doors, we hear whip cracks. And when he's knocking on doors, like, trying to tell people to get out, like, be safe, they're hearing, like, go away.
Yeah.
Like, City Hall is a brothel.
Exactly. That's where they get the money for the town.
It's a small town. There's not much here to do but shovel and fuck.
Exactly. Well, and that's what I love the way, you know, the low budget looked in this, because the town literally looked like Santa's Village. Like, everything was made out of plastic. It was fantastic.
I'm just about out of bads. How about you?
My last one is, you said you liked it, but the constant barrage of the Christmas instrumental music was just a little bit too much for me. Like, I love the O Holy Night at the end, but it's just after every single major scene... It was just a Christmas instrumental song, and it could have been because maybe, you know, they're public domain and there's no budget, but it was just a bit too much for me. And that's just nitpicking, honestly.
Well, there was a little bit of trivia about this movie that I think is interesting. The guy that drove the chemical acid tanker at the beginning of the movie that eventually created this whole mess by crashing into the transport. Oh, yeah. Speaking of... Yeah. Back to bads. The original Jack Frost, his body...
Mm-hmm.
In his human body, he looks like a combination of Ray Liotta, Bruce Campbell, and Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, I think I texted you. I said, I think this guy looks like discount Bruce Campbell, but he had, like, the early 80s, like, crazy Jack Nicholson eyes.
Yeah, and, like, there are times, like, for the few times we see him, he's, like, way too evil.
Yeah,
like,
he's
not
complete,
menacing evil, just, like, cartoony evil.
Because he's complete with scars on his face and his lips and the bug eyes. And
if he wasn't handcuffed, you'd think he'd be flipping a coin with a match in his teeth.
Yeah.
And when they're about to crash, he looks at the camera and he's like, here we go. Like he's read the script.
Yeah, he's doing his best attempt to break the fourth wall.
So anyway, the guy driving the tanker that crashes into the transport was the stunt coordinator for the film.
It wasn't a, you know, that wasn't a bad crash. I was kind of taken out of it, though, because when they
it's
were
clearly the camera just being rotated.
Exactly. Like I said, it reminded me of, like, when the cutscene in, like, the old Batman TV show. That's literally what it reminded me of. And why were the two guys, I mean, I know they could hardly see out of the windshield because of the blizzard, but they were literally on each other's laps almost, looking through the windshield while driving.
Because they only got, like, tiny wipers and that one little bit of, that one little visible window. There was going to be a third movie And it was called Jack Frost 3, The Last Coming.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And it was supposed to be him attacking Japan as Jackzilla. But that movie didn't happen because... And this, like, I really wanted Sheldon to be here because I wanted to hear his reaction live. But yours will do nicely. You won't get a third Jack Frost. It's not likely going to happen. Not just because of money or anything, but because the man who plays the sheriff, Christopher Alport, died in 2008. In an avalanche.
You're fucking with me.
His Wikipedia. He was one of three people killed on January 25th, 2008 by three avalanches near the Mountain High Ski Resort in Wrightwood, San Bernardino County, California.
I really shouldn't say this, but that's fantastic.
It's fucking it's fucking phenomenal.
Oh my God. I hope the obituary where they after they pulled him out and they said all the best things he's known for the movies Jack Frost 1 and 2 where he's attacked by a killer snowman.
The thing is, like, at the time of his death, he played Pete Campbell's father on Mad Men. So they had to kill off his character as one of the three people killed in the American Airlines Flight 1 in Jamaica Bay, New York.
I can't believe it. He died in a fucking avalanche.
The man who twice defeated evil killer Snow finally met his match. That symmetry is just so fucking beautiful.
You can't plan that out.
Now, that shows you that there is a God, and he is and, one of us.
He and is he a has twisted a sense fucker. Of humor. Yep. Oh, my God.
Well, I could give him a brain tumor, or I could send him out in style.
Oh.
Well, it turns out that's only one reason why we weren't going to get another Jack Frost. Because we reached out, some of our connections came back. They delivered some behind-the-scenes footage of a pitch meeting between the director of the movie, Michael Cooney, and the producer, who wanted to fund the movie, but there were some creative differences, to say the least. And, you know, you'll find out why... Oh, because we didn't allude properly, there was a second movie. Yes, Jack Frost 2: Revenge of the Killer Mutant Snowman.
I just love that tagline.
That is what it's called, and the box art is even worse because instead of a snowy skull, this one is just like a demon snowman. With a Hawaiian lei around his neck, because yes, the snowman goes to Hawaii, and he opens up his mouth to reveal his teeth, and inside, alien style, is a snowball with with eyes and sharp icicle teeth.
Oh, it's fantastic, and that just like the original one, it was one of those hologram type DVD covers that changed.
Yeah, but. I can only imagine what the third snowman would have looked, what the third snowman cover would have looked like. But we're not going to get it for various reasons, one of which you will find out now on this week's It Came from the Cutting Room Floor. Hey man, thanks for taking my call.
Well, after the success of the two Jack Frosts, we'd love to see how this trilogy wraps up.
Oh, for sure. And that's why we're here, to see how can Jack be stopped and how far can we push it?
Hey, sure thing. So he went to Hawaii, facing the climate and keeping himself together. What challenges can he face next?
Okay, well, I hope you got your purse strings open because Jack is going to space!
That's great. What? Why?
To block out the sun, his mortal enemy.
Simpsons did it.
What?
Who shot Mr. Burns, that J.R. Dallas mockery one with America's Most Wanted doing an episode? It was just 7 years ago, man.
Okay, so he doesn't intend to go to space. He's been captured by the military, and he escapes when the sheriff comes to make sure he's still there. And after a climactic battle, they end up getting cryo-frozen together and discovered centuries later by sexy space teens on spring break who have a spaceship for reasons we can figure out later, if at all. And they thaw out the sheriff, thinking he's the only one trapped inside this patch of ice. But when he wakes up, the puddle is gone, and he tells them they're all in danger, and they don't believe him until he starts hunting down the kids one by one, and they're sexy cyborg, because people love sexy cyborgs. We can even add some new metal music. It'll make a great trailer.
Okay, so then let me guess. He gets destroyed by the sexy cyborg. He's upgraded by medical nanoprobes into Uber Frost. The sheriff pushes Jack out of an airlock towards the Earth, and then they burn up on entry, with two teens camping, seeing them as a falling star, and then the movie ends with, I don't know what, a charred metallic carrot sinking to the bottom of the lake.
Did you hack my emails? How the fuck did you know that? Simpsons couldn't have done that.
Nope.
Well,
because
that's good.
Jason X did it last year.
Fuck! Okay, well, instead of tackling the sun itself, how about the second best thing, the land of the rising sun?
Japan. Why in the world would he even go there?
Okay, he shows up, gathers up all the snow on the island, and becomes Jackzilla. Hello? Hello? And there you go. Thoughts?
That was amazing. That was amazing. And you know what? I definitely could see that happening too. Because, you know, everybody's got to get an idea from somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Everybody borrows a little something. So I got to sympathize with the director.
Borrows, steals. It's all your potato, potato.
If it's a deep theft, it's an homage.
There you go. See? There's always ways around it.
Well, there's only one more category for us to talk about, and I've really got my hands filled on...
You really do on this one.
...on this week's Kill of the Week. And you'd think I'd be going for the obvious one, but I'm pretty sure we'd lose our podcasting license if we say... It was funny watching a woman getting raped to death. So the kill, to me, has to go to the mom getting a face full of ornaments and getting strung up. Definitely not the rape scene. I definitely wasn't laughing my guts out with him lighting up a pipe afterwards and talking about sending flowers, because it is insensitive to laugh at a rape scene. So I'm not going to think about how he was already inside her once she got inside the tub. And I definitely didn't laugh at her waving her arm out the window with some neighbor just staring at it because he was just looking at a fucking window.
He waved back.
Yeah, and how the hell did her arm... wave out the window when both arms were planted deep inside, were planted, frozen inside the snowman. So, we definitely have to pass over the absolutely hilarious, but not funny at all, because rape's not funny, rape scene.
Oh my god. I totally forgot about the window scene.
I didn't. When I watch a movie, I watch a movie. Fuck it. I'm bumping this movie up to 70%. I laughed way too hard to run this movie down. I thoroughly, actually, very much enjoyed it from start to finish. There were bad parts, but it wasn't so bad where it made me regret or. Like, something good was always around the corner to keep me going.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, I watched this by myself with no alcohol involved, and I had a blast. So I had nothing, you know, helping me enjoy it. Now, just imagine if you watched this with a group of friends. You would have even more fun than just watching it by yourself. Because I honestly want to watch this again. I will probably watch this next Christmas.
This is my second time watching the movie, and I'm seriously thinking about adding it to my rotation along with Christmas Vacation and Muppets Christmas Carol and Nightmare Before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
This is definitely one of those things I can just... I could watch this again and again and without shame.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had so much fun with this. I was very, very pleasantly surprised.
So that's a glowing recommendation for this movie. If you haven't seen Jack Frost from 1997, not to be confused with the 1998 one, because you probably will be disappointed with that one.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you were awaiting a psychotic snowman and terrible puns, and all you get to see is like CGI Frosty voiced by Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
So forget what you saw on Rotten Tomatoes. This movie is beautiful. I can't speak about Jack Frost 2 Revenge of the Killer Mutant Snowman because I definitely want to see it just out of curiosity.
Yeah, see, that's what's great about this movie is I did watch the trailer for Jack Frost 2. It's probably got half the budget of Jack Frost 1, but Jack Frost 1 did such a good job of having me enjoy this film that I still want to see what happens next with these characters, because I know it's the same guy who voices Jack Frost in the second one, the same the same sheriff before he was killed in the avalanche, but it's making me want to see what happens next. And it's a movie about a killer snowman, and I want to see what happens when he goes to Hawaii.
Yes,
just if Jaws can do it, so can Jack Frost.
Yeah, they both got that transcontinental GPS shit going on.
Oh,
I'm so happy. Rotten Tomatoes, fuck you. This is
exactly.
This is just not fair.
Nope.
Get on Rotten Tomatoes, people. Start reviewing this movie. Skew those numbers. Get Jack Frost the justice it deserves.
We're gonna hashtag it. Jack Frost justice.
Okay, so, Eric, you've been a delightful co-host. Where can people find you if they want to hear more of your...
Well, I guess the only place when I'm not busy, you know, sending you inappropriate memes and stuff on Facebook, I do have a YouTube channel. It is called Hey Internet, Eric Here, and it's literally me just sitting in my basement discussing movies, I defend movies that people hate but me. Like, I've defended Jason Goes to Hell or Halloween 3. My wife and I, we do commentaries on old classic cartoons. And right now, I have sadly revisited the Leprechaun series, so I'm trying to sit through and survive that series before I move on to the next one. But yeah, you know what, Jack, I'll tell you what, I just got done doing Leprechaun in the Hood, and Jack Frost was a wonderful palate cleanser.
Well, you weren't taken in by the beautiful limerical stylings of Dionne Warwick?
No, not at all. Not even Ice-T as a pimp could save it.
So you're not going to correct me then?
Oh, you know, I know Dionne Warwick was not in that film, but you know what? I lost interest watching it long before. But thank you for Jack Frost to cleanse the palate.
You're very welcome. And if you want to hear more of me, you can check out the Technobabble podcast, where me and Rich Reeder talk about tech, science, breakthroughs. We try to inject a little positivity with good news from the Good News Network. Just, you know, people using science and tech in amazing ways to uplift people while we goof on it like jackasses. And then, speaking of being jackasses, you can also check out me talking about retro video games like NES and Super NES games on the Taste Test, Retro Gaming with Flavor, where me and Brandon and Ivan talk about old games. We often do skits, and we just share our experiences with them after playing them for a bit, trying to beat them, or failing miserably in the attempt. And if you want to hear us talk about games without playing any games, you can check out the Playing with Power podcast, where we read Nintendo Power issues first to last, front to back. And we're wrapping up the we're wrapping up the 1996 season, which will also be the end of my co-host Ben. So we'll be trying new hosting, or getting a new host for the year of 1997, where it's just going to be a whole bunch of N64 games that I haven't played, and apparently nobody else has. So that's going to be fun. The end of a Super Nintendo era has also spelled the end of the co-host that started it with me. But we'll see how that endures. You can check out patreon.com/graveyard. For every month, we do a bonus episode. We switch up the format a little bit. We will do a synopsis of a movie where we just talk about it from the beginning to the end. And we'll just talk through it, or we'll do top 10 lists, or review the first couple of episodes of a TV show and give our thoughts on it. It's just a way for us to deviate from the format a bit without changing what you've come to expect from the show. So for as little as $1 a month, you can support the show, give me a reason to actually start doing some Christmas shopping, or at least consider it, or at least, you know, do some Christmas shopping for myself. I can still be a selfish bastard.
Attaboy.
Oh, yeah. The real meaning of the season. And you can also check out facebook.com/thegraveyardshiftpod, where we will be sharing memes of all kinds, as well as posting up new episodes. So you can talk with other people there, as well as suggest movies for us to watch. But until then, I'm Mike.
And I'm not Sheldon.
And thank you for joining us on the Graveyard Shift. Ha 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 ha